Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church in Birmingham, everybody's church. We're so excited to have you all join us from wherever you are, from all corners of the world. We are so glad that we are able to be together in this way. A couple of reminders. The first one is that there is going to be a Zoom coffee hour after this meeting, after this worship service. And we are going to have that link is on the website, and we can also post it into the comments on the Facebook Live, and you can find us on that Zoom coffee hour. We are also going to be sending out a letter. It's coming from our reopening committee. We've put together a committee of people that are going to be talking about the best practices for when we are able to meet together again. And so you'll be getting a letter from them very soon, so keep an eye out for that so you know what's going to happen with all of that. It is Deacon Loose Change Day, but we are going to have to do this a little bit differently. So John's suggestion is that you find a jar, use the loose change that you can find in your house, and save that for when we are together again, and we'll have a massive loose change offering when we are able to get together again today. I want to say a quick thank you to Carson Akuri for coming and singing with us today. We are very blessed to have talent in our community and in our midst. We also have Ken Tompkins today playing trombone on a few pieces. We are very thankful to have him. He just so happens to be the principal trombonist at a little place called the DSO. So we are very thankful that he's able to use his talents today. And we are just excited to have a wonderful worship service with all of you. So with those announcements made, let us prepare our hearts to worship God.
Please join me in the call to worship. Though we are separated by miles and worship in our homes,
we are one in the Spirit, joined together by the Lord.
Even as we pray that our unity will one day be restored, we work from home, spiritually side by side, with love as our guide. We use our voice to guard each one's dignity and save each one's pride.
And they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Let us worship God.
Thank you.
As certain as the air I breathe, as certain as the morning sun that rises, as certain when I sing, you'll hear my song. God is here today, as certain as the air I breathe, as certain as the morning sun that rises, as certain when I sing, you'll hear my song.
Good morning. I hope all of you had a chance to see Addie and Drew's video as they acted out our scripture this week. You'll hear it again in a moment, and I would ask that you listen for the acts of kindness in it. The scripture from the book of Acts gives us a glimpse into the early church. People saw how Jesus helped others and gave them new life, how he fed huge crowds of people, how he sat at table with those who others didn't want to sit with, how he made sick people better and welcomed people who didn't have friends, and showed God's abundant love. These early followers of Jesus were inspired to love and to follow in Jesus' ways. And as the church began to love one another and Christians loved, the church grew and grew and grew. And now, more than two centuries later, we're inspired by Jesus to show God's love. But in these days, we have to be creative and thoughtful about the ways we show kindness due to our physical distancing, not being able to be together. And we have to be thoughtful about the ways that we work together. It's what the early church had to do in the beginning as well. I know some of you have already thought up special and creative ways to show kindness by sharing your art and music and sending cards and notes, by shopping for other people, for sending funds to provide food for those who don't have enough and for those who have lost their jobs. It takes time to notice needs, to respond to them, and to practice acts of kindness again and again. What ways can you think of to follow Jesus' example right now? Is there something that someone else has done that has inspired you? Well, I have a favor of it to ask of you this morning, and it's an opportunity to practice your kindness muscles. So, while we can't see you right now, you can see us. We miss seeing your faces, and we think others miss seeing your faces. And so I'd like to ask you, following the service, right after the service, when we pass the peace, take a picture of yourself or your family and send it to us. You can text it to me at 248-321-0125. Say that one more time. 248-321-0125. Or you can email it to cindymerton@fpcbirmingham.org. That's on the website if you forget. Don't forget to send it. We are not going to put this up on social media, but we'll send it out in one big video, hopefully a big video, that'll go out in our weekly newsletter, the weekly email you receive. We sing a hymn, and we've already alluded to that, that tells the story of this scripture. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, and we pray that all unity may one day be restored, and they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. May it be so. Please pray with me. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you for setting such a powerful example of kindness and love.
Thank you for setting such a powerful...
Help us to follow you by helping others.
Help us to follow you by helping others.
And practicing kindness every day. Amen.
Amen.
Even in the midst of sheltering in place and the coronavirus outbreak, we are still witnesses to the love and grace of God that comes to us in so many ways. And so this morning, we join our voices and our hearts in our unison prayer of adoration as we continue to recognize all that God does for us. Please join me in prayer. Ever-loving God, we come in humble wonder before you. Every day and night, we have been blessed by your wonders. Your ways are beyond our understanding, but your mercy never fails. Your gentle powers are shown through an unfailing kindness to people who are weak and in need of strength, encouragement, and hope for the future. Ever-present God, your faithful love endures forever and ever. We give thanks with all our hearts to our listening and faithful God. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be.
Please be seated. I now invite you to join with me in our unison prayer for illumination. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
God of our hearts, here we are. We come with aching hearts, praying for good news to comfort us. We come with overflowing hearts, praying for a chance to share your love. You who know our hearts and hear our prayers, be with us now in this hour of worship. Amen. Our New Testament lesson comes to us out of the book of Acts. This is our first Testament lesson. Bethany is drawing on two New Testament lessons this week, as I will be doing next week as well. And so let us listen to the word of the Lord. Awe. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Our second lesson reading today comes from the book of 1 Peter, which is where we have been reading from the last few weeks. Let us listen to what God is saying to the church today. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Like that of a lamb without defect or blemish, he was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply, deeply from the heart. If you have been born anew, not of the perishable, but of the imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like a flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The word is the good news that was announced to you. The word of the Lord. I want to start today with a quick refresher on how and why the New Testament came to be. As with all things in Christianity, we should start with Jesus. Jesus was raised knowing the Tanakh, which is the Torah and the writings and the prophets, or as we call it, the Old Testament. We know that Jesus knew these well because he referenced them constantly throughout his ministry and uses these words to demonstrate how his new message is a continuation of God's story. That his message uses the same rhythm of love, hope, peace, and joy that the Old Testament was founded on. So then we get to a time when Jesus is gone, and the early church has to figure out how to continue living and teaching this new message. They have to take up the rhythm of God themselves and continue it to a new generation. The first writings that come out are the epistles. These are letters that Paul and other leaders of the church write to churches to help them stay strong, to sort out debates, and to help them respond to the wider world. These letters were passed around from church to church and copied for their own archives. Over time, the churches had collected these letters that they could pull from for help and guidance to be the church. The letters that helped them remember what the rhythm of God sounded like. When the apostles began to be killed for their faith, Luke decides to write down their stories for the people as well. That's how we get Acts. And there is a rich tradition at this time of telling the story of Jesus' life and the parables, a tradition that wasn't written down, but passed from the storyteller to the listener. This is how the memory of the parables, the Sermon on the Mount, the miracles were remembered by the community. The events that encapsulated who Jesus was were told more often, and some of the less loved stories were lost to time. These stories were told because they reminded the community what they were all about and what it looks like to live in rhythm with God. Eventually, Mark decides that these also need to be written down. As you can imagine, with oral retellings, the sayings were being twisted, and they worried that the truth, the rhythm, would be lost. Then Matthew and Luke decide to write their own accounts of Jesus, and eventually John. But in with these gospels and writings that we know today, there are other writers at that time. So the early church had a wide range of teachings that they were using to keep the rhythm of God heard in the world. And this all happened in the first 80-ish years of the early church. Then we get a few hundred years where the individual town churches operate from these archives of writings. In some of these files, the other gospels, the other letters are stored, and some of them are what we find in our Bible today. Until the late 4th century, when the New Testament is finally decided on and canonized. This happens because the church has become a real power for change and needs to organize the message. Make sure that the rhythm that is being passed down and lived out is the same from one church to the next. A council meets, and the churches submit their favorite letters, gospels, and writings for consideration, and the council finally decides which will become the New Testament. And so we have these gospels, these epistles, and these writings that the council decided on that will best tell the story of Jesus and Jesus' followers. The words and stories that best convey the rhythm the community has collectively been called to drum. They picked stories that showed how God has continued to guide the people and strengthen the community since the ending of the Old Testament. These words have brought Christians through thousands of years of life as a community. These are the stories we tell when someone is struggling with infertility. These are the stories we tell when people fall in love and get married. These are the stories we tell in happy times and in sad times, because these stories show us that no matter what we're experiencing, there is a common rhythm to it all. God has already been there and brought the people through it. It proves that we can depend on this rhythm We can depend on God because God has weathered these storms with people before in the past, and we can trust that God will get us through whatever storm we are in now. For us now, a pandemic is not something any of us have experienced. It is new and it is scary. We struggle to find that rhythm. For God, though, this is not new. God has brought the world through multiple pandemics. God has seen churches close due to plague, and God has brought the church through it even before there was Zoom and Facebook and YouTube. It is new to us, but not to God. God will keep the rhythm going as we work to find it and take it up again. It's what the Bible tells us has happened every time humanity has faced chaos and tragedy. The Bible is all the evidence we need to keep trying. Now, one might ask why we don't continue to update the stories that we find here. For one, these stories are enough. They show us how God blesses people. They show us that God can handle us being angry with God in all the lamenting sections. They show us how to respond to every situation a Christian could find themselves in. There is no story in here about when the government asks you to stay home with your family for 2 months. But it does tell us how God's people act during adversity or unsure times. The Acts passage today was about the early church adjusting to having to be the church in a new way, without a leader sitting in the room with them and teaching them, without someone planning their trips and events for them. They had to devote themselves to reading the scripture on their own. They had to pray for themselves. They had to identify need in their own communities and find ways to meet that needs, even if it meant selling one's possessions. That kind of response is still very relevant for the place we find ourselves today. And we can learn from that story, even though it's not exactly the same situation. Another reason why I think we don't add to the scriptures is because we have access to other modern stories about how God interacts with humanity through the internet and other published books. Pentecost spoiler alert: Jesus leaves us with the Spirit. And that Spirit can help us hear God's rhythm in all sorts of sources, in music, in the wind, in ourselves, in poetry. If we have read and heard the stories in here that are recorded in Scripture, we know what the rhythm of God's presence sounds like. We can sense that beating of love and hope in other things and make connections so that we can be inspired even 2,000 years later. For example, this past month, a woman named Kitty O'Mara wrote a poem called "And They Stayed Home." And it was about the pandemic our world is facing today. In it, she describes what communities do when they are asked to isolate. She highlights things like reading and creating, resting and learning new ways to live. And then as I read these verses from Acts, her words kept coming to my mind. They sounded like they were written by the same person. They had the same rhythm, the same sense of hope in chaos. Let me show you what I mean. I took the Acts passages and Kitty's verses and wove them together. And I wonder if you can catch which words are 2,000 years old and which are 20 days old. The people stayed home and read books and listened and rested and exercised and made art and played games and learned new ways of being and were still and listened more deeply. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayers. Awe came upon everyone because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. Some meditated, some prayed, some danced, some met their shadows, and the people began to think differently. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods to distribute the proceeds as any had need. Day by day, they spent time together. They broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts. And the people healed. And in the absence of people living in ignorant, dangerous, mindless, and heartless ways, the earth began to heal. Praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And when the danger passed and the people joined together again, they grieved their losses and made new choices and dreamed new images and created new ways to live and heal the earth fully as they had been healed. To hear these two passages together in this way made me realize how connected to God's people throughout time we are. We are acting in the same way that the early church did. They devoted themselves to one another, and we have never been more devoted to each other. They gave their possessions to those in need, and we have seen great generosity pouring from our community. And as I read Kitty's words, I could feel the truth in them. That this is how God's people respond when life gets hard. They become more focused on the important things, the learning, the healing, the dancing, and the praying. And if I had to guess, I feel confident that the early church danced too. The dancing just wasn't recorded for us when they finally wrote about their struggle 40 or 50 years later. What was recorded was the rhythm of God, because that is what remained in their memory. Imagine a high schooler in the year 2030 needing to write a report about the coronavirus, and the student asks their parent to tell them about 2020. The parent recounts the fear everyone had and how even close friends became people to be cautious around. The parent remembers the stress of teaching, entertaining, working, and parenting 24/7. The parent admits that they cried in the bathroom a lot. There's some memory of making masks, but no one really knew what the right style or makeup was. Then the parent says to the child, "But you must remember some of this. You were old enough to create memories at that time." And the child responds and says, "I only remember having you home all the time, laughing while watching YouTube videos together and cuddling until bedtime." The child remembers sewing the masks, picking out the colors that would go together, and they admit that learning to sew is why they want to go to fashion school and create accessible clothing for people in wheelchairs. Children remember the eternal, the way they felt. The details fade from our childhood memories, and we can only remember how loudly the rhythm of God's love was beating in an experience. The surface details fade away. The eternal rhythm remains. 1 Peter demonstrates this in a great metaphor. The flesh is like the grass, its beauty a short-lived as wildflowers. Grass dries up, flowers droop. God's word goes on and on forever. The word is where we learn God's rhythm, that rhythm of God, of hope and love. That is what is eternal. That rhythm is what is remembered in everything we do. We know this because we've heard the rhythm in the Old Testament. We hear it continue beating through the New Testament, and we can hear it inspire and guide us today. That rhythm we feel from the scripture is what ultimately gets remembered after times of struggle. Time has a way of tuning down the superficial, making it dry up and droop. And time amplifies that which is God's rhythm. We have been generous these past few weeks, but the amount of money that we have given is like the grass. That number will fade. The number of masks we have made are like flowers. They will wither and not be remembered exactly as they are. The number of phone numbers we've dialed will disappear over time. Because what we do on the is just a surface action. Why we do these things is what remains. Because of love. To keep that rhythm of God's love beating loudly in the world is why we do these actions. If you've ever talked to someone who's been on a mission trip, they often say the same things. It was life-changing. I met God there. It has anchored my faith for the rest of my life. And there is a reason why mission trips have this effect on people. It is a chance to connect to the rhythm of God's love. To live every moment from the moment you wake up until the moment you sleep in God's rhythm. Before every mission trip, I give prospective participants the same message. I tell them it would be a lot easier for us and for our partner organization if we just sent them the money that we're spending on food and accommodations and airplane tickets for them to pay for professional masons and workers to do this job. The work would be done better than what we're going to do if that would be the case. They do not need us to build or to work, and we do not need them to meet God. There must be another reason that you go. Ultimately, a mission trip is not about the work. It's not about what we do, it's why we do it. When love and fellowship and showing up for God's people is the goal, when the rhythm of God's word is our inspiration, a mission trip will never fail. The reason why mission trips have life-changing effects and hold such weight in a person's faith journey is because they allow us to engage deeply with the rhythm of God. We hear the stories of changed lives, but I can guarantee you on that mission trip, there was either a large fight or something went terribly wrong. We just don't hear about it. Because the rhythm of God is what remains. And they devoted themselves to one another. We do not hear about the arguments. They read and learned. We do not hear about the lazy mornings and the days when procrastination won. They had glad and generous hearts. We do not hear about the regret-filled, selfish moments. And I want you to hear these scriptures telling us is to not put so much pressure on yourself and your family to get this perfectly right. If there has been a day you did nothing, good. Didn't quite get that science experiment to work exactly right, it's fine. Not keeping a good schedule and accomplishing everything you wanted to at the beginning of this, totally acceptable. There are some things that last and some that thankfully fade away. It's not about what we do. It's about why we do it that counts. If we have created a space for ourselves and our families to live into God's rhythm, we have done what we need to do. I had a teacher friend post that if your child shows up for school next year behind, it's okay. It's why she became a teacher, to help kids learn no matter how they did the year before. Teachers are not expecting parents to be able to do the same jobs that they can in a classroom. It's why we need teachers. We're not all skilled in that way. Even if you are a teacher and trying to teach your own kids during a pandemic, it's not going to be the ideal situation. Parents, take a breath and realign yourselves and your house with God's rhythm. If love and protection fill your home, nothing else matters. The crafts, the homework will fade away. What remains will be how the people around you felt during this time. And the same principle goes for those of us who are not parents. The important things are not how many Zoom calls you've gotten on, if you've had enough water to drink every day, if you've kept a good schedule. Those aren't the things that last. How we make people feel, how we have kept the rhythm of God alive, the connections we made, the love we spread, how well we kept the rhythm alive in the midst of chaos is what will be recorded. I know the title of the sermon is A New Love, but it's only new to us. This is the same love that God has been sending into the world since the beginning of time. The same rhythm that has been beating for eternity. We are just the drums currently tasked to keep the rhythm going. Show love in every way you can. And if you miss a beat, forgive yourself like God forgives you. And take up the rhythm again tomorrow. In this way, God's people have come through many storms. And in this way, God's people will get through this storm. During this next song, I want you to take a moment with what I call the real sermon, that which the Spirit has written on your heart during this time. Let us sit with God.
Thank you.
Thank you, Andrew, Ken. As I uncover the elements this morning, I hope that you have yours with you. And if not, please go get them, because we are worshiping at the table together. Bethany talked about the rhythms of God's love, and there are rhythms within the life of the church where we get to experience that love. And this is one of those rhythms that we do not ever want to abandon, and that is the rhythm of the table, the reminder of the height, depth, and breadth of God's love for us. And so this is the Lord's table, and he is our host. He invites us to come not because we're whole, but because we're broken. Not because we're fearless, but because we're fearful. Not because we're perfect, but because we are imperfect and haven't finished that chemistry experiment. So come, be fed, be healed, be loved. At this table, there is room for all. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. Why do we give thanks and praise before this table? We give thanks for God's work of creation, liberation, and salvation. Let us pray. With joy, we praise you, gracious God, for your creation of the heavens and the earth, for your making us in your image so that we might love you and love our neighbors and bless the world. We are grateful that when we wandered away, ignoring our vocation of blessing the world, you didn't reject us, but you called us back to you. That at the right moment, you sent your Son Jesus to reclaim us and your creation. Therefore, we join our voices with all the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God.
Again, let us pray. We praise you, Holy God, because you are mighty in power and abounding in mercy, because you are ever renewing your creation, giving hope amid sorrow, because in Jesus, born of Mary, you stepped into our world, bringing light in the darkness by sharing our joys and our sorrows, feeding the hungry, healing the sick, caring for the least, eating with outcasts, forgiving sins, proclaiming the coming kingdom, breaking the power of sin on the cross, and defeating death by rising from the grave. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory and will come again to make all things new. Why do we eat bread at this table?
On the night before he died,
Jesus took bread. After giving thanks, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And now in his name we do likewise, the body of Christ broken for the world. Why do we drink from this cup at this table? The same night Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And now in his name we do likewise. The cup of the new covenant, the blood of Christ poured out for the forgiveness of the sins of the world. What do we remember at this table?
We remember God's gracious love for us,
Christ's death and resurrection for us, and the Spirit's tender care for us. Let us proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Again, let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and cup wherever they are, that the bread we've broken and the cup that we have blessed will be the communion of the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, make us all one with Christ, that we may be one with all who share this feast, united in every ministry, in every place. As this bread is Christ's body for us, help us to be the living bread, the love you offer to all of those who are in need. Remember your church as it is separated in these days, as it is persecuted around the world. Give it strength and hope and connect it to your Son and his love. Remember the world of nations where there are tensions and war. Help to bring peace. Help to connect us as one human family. Remember all of our family and friends, those who are in the hospital, those who struggle with health, those who need help and love and grace. Be with them all. Remember the depressed and the oppressed. Comfort those who grieve, who are anxious, who are afraid. We lift up before you all of those who are on the front lines of this epidemic, this pandemic, that you would keep them safe, that you would comfort the families of those who have lost loved ones, that you would be with those who are ill, heal them and bring them through this. Encourage us all, give us all hope, and keep us ever faithful until Christ comes to make all things new, when all of us once again sit at table with the faithful of every time and place to celebrate this meal once again. Through Christ, with Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor are yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And now hear us as we pray the prayer your Son taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The body of Christ broken for us and for the world. Take, eat, and remember. The blood of Christ poured out for us for the remission of sins of all. Take, drink, and remember. Let us pray. Amazing God, you have fed us and we are grateful. On this day and in the days to come, help us to respond with hearts made ready, eyes always open, hands made strong, and feet made eager to continue the rhythm of your love in this place and in this time forevermore. Amen.
Spirit, we are one in the Lord. We are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord. And we pray that all unity may one day be restored. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. We will walk with each other, we will walk hand in hand. And together we'll spread the news that God is in our land. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. We will work with each other, we will work side by side. And we'll guard human dignity and save human pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. All praise to the Father from whom all things come, and all praise to Christ Jesus, God's only Son, and all praise to the Spirit who makes us one. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love.
Quick reminder to join us on Zoom after the prelude. We'd love to see and hear from you on there. And go with this blessing. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ our Lord. Peace and strength be with you.